I had my first five-figure day, 10K. I have 500K now that I trade with, and all I really need is a couple percent a month. A lot of people that I even still teach, they don't have passion and they don't have the excitement going into the charts. I was probably on the charts 5-10 hours every single day. My life still is nothing but charts. You need to just zone in. You need to focus. You're going to take losses. You're going to fail. And those losses is what's going to build your character. Without losses, how are you going to learn? He was kind of the pioneer of smart money concepts, I would say. I'll always give him his flowers. Also, Doyle Exchange. I just watched their YouTube videos and I took certain influences from them and I piece them together. If you can just put a year or two aside, stick to...
So if somebody was going to put a plan together, I mean, what would that plan look like in your eyes?
I live traded a couple hours a day, but the main thing that really kind of had me level up was...
All right, folks, here we are on Trading Up. We've got Angelo, aka Jello, in the house. He's a supply and demand trader based over there in New Jersey. Welcome to the show, Angelo.
Thank you very much for having me.
Hey, look, we're going to start off by hearing your story, how you got into trading, and dive in from there. So let's get into it.
Let's do it. So basically, the start of it, you know, I was working at BMW end of 2019, and I ended up having surgery. So that kind of set me back. But the thing was, it gave me a lot of time. Right. So a lot of people, they don't have much time within the market. They kind of have a full-time job. They have all these responsibilities. It was kind of more so a blessing. Disguise at first, I was like, all right, well, I lost my job. What am I going to do now? Sitting at home, I can't really do much because it was on my lower back. So I couldn't really go out. I had to rest for 2 months. And I kind of was scrolling on Instagram one day. Found Hugh Banks. Sure, most of you do know who he is. Instagram, I saw all the cars, the lifestyle, and I'm like, all right, well, I kind of love cars. I worked at BMW, you know, I had a passion for them. See what he's about. And one day, you know, I was following for probably a couple weeks at this moment. I stumbled across a story, and this one dude, he did some crazy flip on like first BTC run, the bull run. And I think it was either $200 or $2,000 into like six figures with a one trade. He just stacked tons of positions. So I was like, all right, like, this is insane. What, like, how do I get started? And I viewed his page and he had a free Telegram group. And from there, I mean, that's basically when Jello was born.
Folks, if you're looking for a prop firm at the moment and you want someone who's been around for ages, flexible, reliable, and has low profit targets, then check out my sponsors, Blue Guardian. So these guys, I've been trading with them for the last 8 months. They've been sponsoring the show for about that amount of time, and they even have guys on my live stream trading them as well. So what I've found is their commission seems to be lower than some of the competitors out there. So really great trading environment, and they offer now CTrader and some other fantastic trading platforms as well. If you want to check them out, there's a coupon code in the description, or just use it. Trading Nut, all one word, and get 10% off at checkout. There's a QR code you can grab here as well. All right, folks, let's get on with the show.
Right, okay, so that was like your, I'm into trading now. If this guy can do that, then I'm diving in head first. Now, where did you go next? What was the next step?
Really, I just stuck in the Telegram for a couple of months. There was a lot of distractions. There was a lot of newbie traders. There wasn't a lot of, you know, more so, not really professional, but just advanced traders in there. Everyone was trying to learn the same thing. It was a free Telegram group. So you weren't going to get the best of knowledge, but I met this one guy. His name was Cap, still a best friend with me right now. Kind of like a life mentor, not really a trading mentor anymore, but one day he showed me order blocks. And before then I was kind of going around, you know, trading all the basic stuff, support resistance, trend lines, all that, whatnot, not really understanding price action even at the time. And I was like, all right, well, if he's working off this, if he's hitting, you know, buys, sells, ping-ponging these positions, what do I do? You know, I'm losing every single trade. I'm not understanding the market at all in the slightest. I don't even understand price action. Let me ask him, he does, and how he does it, and that's that. And he did show me his strategy, but the thing was, is I try to copy it more so, you know, tick for tick. I try to do every single little thing he did. And that's what not a lot of people realize, is my strategy or someone else's strategy might not work 100% for you. You know what I mean? You can't completely mimic someone's strategy because everyone is different, even as a trader. So basically just getting introduced to order blocks after failing and failing with support resistance. That was it.
It's funny, eh? Order blocks seem to be a mainstay behind a lot of traders, I suppose, big epiphanies, right? And, I mean, they are, like, usually the start of the move, albeit they can be in the middle of the move, near the end of the move. I mean, what was, you know, what's your sort of view on order blocks as a whole? I mean, have you got a view on them? And have you sort of come across any other traders that are out there that have, you know, that I suppose, give, you know, I suppose hold order blocks in such a high esteem that it is like, once you know that, you're kind of on the right track.
You know, what I did in the beginning was I tried to trade every single order block. And I think that's where a lot of people get messed up. They try to jump from strategy to strategy because they're like, oh, order blocks don't work. You know, people are having success with every other strategy, ICT, whatever. A lot of people love ICT. You know, so be it. It is what it is. Every strategy works, but a lot of people that try to get into order blocks, they trade every single move. So if they see one single little break structure, they're going to try to get into that order block. Where the thing is, what I realize is when I piece together certain confluences using that order block, it will help me, you know, build way more confidence in my trade because confluences are key. You know, if you don't have confluences and you're just trading order block, it's really not going to work. You're going to fail time after time after time again, and you're going to quit. You're going to go to another mentor, another course. I know people have bought hundreds of courses, and it's like, dude, why are you switching from strategy to strategy? Learn and adapt to how to actually work around that strategy and order blocks, and that's it. So what I use was I piece together mainly price action and swing points. I also use liquidity as well to kind of target where the premium discounted level actually is to take that order block.
Right. So yeah, it is that whole sort of, you know, I think every trader does it. Oh, order block's great. I'm going to trade every single one and then fails miserably. And it is about selecting the ones and coming up with a way to do that, which you seem to have done. Now, let's dive into the copying somebody else's strategy component. I mean, that I think is the other thing that's a major, major flaw that people just fall into. I mean, can you even explain that when you did try and copy this guy's strategy, what were some of the things that you really struggled with and when you decided that enough's enough, I'm going to give up, it's just not working?
Honestly, it was we would have so many zones on our chart and my chart would be so cluttered. Like I have screenshots from back in the day where I would have 10 to 20 order blocks within just span of a day, where when I focus on, okay, well, you know, if I have one single time frame, you know, around the open in New York, which is what I trade, one session only, I need to look for one specific thing, right? Instead of having every single order block, so-called order block that I could see on the chart marked up, let me stick to one single very volumized move and let me, you know, piece together every single else that I use in my artillery and see if it works. That's basically it.
Okay, so when you were actually trying to copy this guy's strategy, I mean, what happened with that? Like, so you had lots of zones, but then what was the outcome of the result of having all these zones?
It was more so someone win, but most of them lost. So the win rate was really low. And at the time, I did not know risk management. I would get onto the charts, New York Stock Exchange open, and I would see one single order block, and I would stick it. I miss it, okay, or I lost, I'll take the next one. I lost, I'll take the next one. And it was a constant cycle of me loading up a little account because I didn't have the time at the job. I didn't have the job at the time. I was getting unemployment, so I was getting money in, and I was using all that money, loading up account, taking stupid positions because I had no other confluence lining up with it, losing and losing and losing until every account that I loaded up was gone and I had no more money.
Right. And so at that point, you're like, okay, this thing ain't working. And now, just in hindsight, now that you're at a point where you've got something that is working, you know, you're making a living out of this, would you be able to go back, do you think, and trade that strategy with the mindset you have now and the knowledge you have now? Or is it still an impossibility?
I couldn't.
You couldn't do it.
I couldn't because there's just so many possibilities of, you know, where to enter. Whereas if I just look for one single thing that I need to see every single morning, that's it. You know, I have three entry models I'm not going to mark up every single order block that I see. And if I don't see one of those three on the three pairs that I trade during the one session, during the 2 to 3 hours during that session that I trade, I'm not taking anything. Risk management, I don't think would help that because there's so many opportunities to try to trade.
And yeah, now so, do you think that, how do you think he was able to make this strategy work for him, given the fact that you couldn't even go back now and make it work? I mean, what was the differentiating factor, do you think?
Really can't even tell you. Maybe, I don't want to say not being so upfront, but I really don't know. Maybe more so the way he got into it. I couldn't tell you. I really couldn't. But it worked for him. He was showing the money. It couldn't work for me. It's funny, the personality.
It is kind of a weird anomaly, isn't it? And I think trading as a whole has that anomaly in it where somebody's got something, they love it, they think it's great, that it works for them. They try and pass it on to, you know, it may not work for anyone else. But then you've got other traders where they've got something that actually does fit a certain person and can work for them for whatever reason. And it's just one of those things, I think, you know, what be your kind of recommendation for somebody who is learning from maybe one or two mentors, or they've done three or four strategy courses and they've come away with all this knowledge but still can't make it work? I mean, how do you think they could go about like making it work for them?
You really need to adapt. You know, you need to sacrifice, you need to put the time in. You know, I didn't get to where I am right now by just slacking off. You're like, oh, okay, I'm just going to get onto the charts, trade for 2 hours, and I'm going to be done. Even when I'm not profitable. Even now, I'm still back testing on the weekends. You know, I take a lot of pride in what I do. And I feel like that kind of is what steered me into the direction that I'm in and where I'm actually headed in the future. It's really just you being consistent, whether if it's you just showing up and, you know, live trading and then front testing, or it's you, you know, not going out on the weekends like everyone else is, especially in my age. Everyone's going out on every single weekend, drinking, partying, whatnot. If you can just put a year or two aside, stick to one single strategy, stick to one or two entry models, and not change a single thing, just adapt to what's working and what's not, kind of critiquing it along the way while gathering the data, I think you can get very far. And that's where a lot of my students actually had success. It's by not, you know, jumping from person to person. You see one thing's not working, but you only worked on it for a couple months, where you're not going to find success in trading in a couple of months. It's going to take a long time, and it's going to take a lot of sacrifice, a lot of failure, that's for sure.
Well, so how did you, like, going back to, like, yeah, you tried to copy this guy, didn't work, you're blowing little accounts all the time, and you're like, okay, all right, stop, something's got to change. How did you get to that point, or is it, what was the sort of, things that were going on in your life, and how did you sort of, like, make that conscious shift around, I've got to stop and change? And what did you decide to change to, and how did things start to evolve into what you do now?
Really, what told me to get my stuff together was I had all these ambitions, all these dreams ever since a kid. You know, I wanted to be successful, not really more so successful, just free. You know, I wanted the freedom. As a kid, I wanted big houses, whatever. They don't really impress me anymore. But all the materialistic stuff, and I'm like, gosh, like, I never had the money really growing up to afford any of these things. Let me figure out a way to actually do it. And me realizing that I'm holding myself back as a trader, I think that's like, okay, you know, the only thing that's stopping you now is you. If someone else can do it, why am I not able to do it yet? So really the main thing was finding something that truly did work for multiple people, you know, across the industry, and just sticking to it. You know, like I said, gathering the data, back testing, kind of putting in a lot of hours every single day. I was probably on the charts 5-10 hours every single day for at least a year.
Hey folks, what a view behind me. I'm at Black Bull Markets headquarters here in Auckland, New Zealand. Speaking of views, you can get TradingView paid plans for free at Black Bull Markets, saving you up to $600 a year. That's right, get either the Essential, Plus or Premium plans absolutely free, and all you need to do is trade from one lot a month at Black Bull Markets. And you can also get a 100% deposit bonus for your first deposit up to $1,000. All you need to do is click the Trading Nut link in the description below. And what were you doing on the, like, so you said you're taking a whole bunch of stuff that worked for other people, bringing them to your charts. What are you doing? Like, I mean, how did you sort of, first of all, identify these people?
I'm not going to lie. The main person I'm friends with him now is ZM Capitals. I don't know if you know him. He was kind of the pioneer of smart money concepts, I would say. I'll always give him his flowers. Also, Doyle Exchange. I know you've had him on here in the past. I watched their YouTube videos. I didn't buy any courses. I didn't buy any mentorship, discourse, nothing. I just watched their YouTube videos and I took certain influences from them and I pieced them together. So my friend, the boy ZM Capitals, he would swing trade. He would swing trade currencies. Whereas Doyle Exchange, he would trade NAS, he would trade indices, CFDs, whatever you want to call them, on the lower time frame. Right. So I was like, okay. Doyle trades supply and demand. ZM trades SMC, supply and demand, same thing, but just use liquidity points, you know, change character, all that, market structure shift, into my words right now. And I piece them together and I kind of just practice it. You know, even on live market, okay, I live traded a couple hours a day, but the main thing that really kind of had me level up was backtesting, was gathering all that data and realizing, okay, this can actually be profitable. All I have to do now, after learning what actually does work for me, is just having the proper risk management and sticking to it and a trading plan. Not a lot of people, I have a lot of people that come to me, they don't have a set trading plan. And I think that's where a lot of people fail. You know, they don't know what reason they have for getting into a trade. They don't know any reason for them to get out of the trade. They just get in and out and that's it. You know, they'll fold on a position if it's coming back to break even or your entry, or you know, they see, oh, I'm up 1, 2, 3 R. Let me take out. But it's not hitting their TP yet. And I think that's where a lot of people do fail.
Yeah, it is interesting. I mean, we'll dive into that in a second, but I mean like I want to dive into the back testing now. So with your back testing, how were you doing it, like from a sort of step by step process? Did it evolve across the course of time? Because I think it's a key thing to get right, because if you don't get your backtesting right, you don't get the confidence, you don't get the edge locked in, and everything sort of falls apart from there, because your confidence drops when you get into a trade, your edge is kind of like iffy because you may have screwed your backtesting over somehow. How did you do it?
How can I explain this? Every single trade that I would take back testing and live, obviously, I would screenshot it. I would screenshot on my phone. I took most of my trades on my phone. I would chart them mostly on my phone because I didn't have a part-time job going into when I was actually kind of more so done learning through the aspect, because I needed money. I was, you know, just sitting at home and had nothing coming in. But really, it's more so me getting those reps and me realizing, okay, going back to that trade, saying, oh, where did I go right? Where did I go wrong? What works? What doesn't? You know, okay, well, this is not in the premium discount level. That's why it didn't work. Or I'm not trading off a swing point. This didn't work. Or there's liquidity resting above my zone or below my zone. This is why it didn't work. And I think the main thing is also journaling. Not only during live trading, but also back testing and looking back on those trades every single night or every single Friday, Saturday, Sunday, whatever. Personally, me, I'll look back every single day. I'll back test on the weekends. And then obviously I have a lot of students. I teach a lot of students one-on-one as well. So my life still is nothing but charts. So I'm always learning. I'm always a student in the game. And that's just what needs to happen. You can never stop learning, never stop adapting to the market and your strategy as a whole. Because once you do, that is when you start to lose.
Yeah, like, I mean, I think that's a great point in terms of one thing that everyone should be able to do is go back and have a look at what they did yesterday, assuming that they're trading in a daily, you know, intraday strategy. It could even be a swing, and go, well, you know, if you're trading swing across multiple markets, did I miss something? What did I miss? Where would I be if I'd taken that trade, or I didn't get into that one? Just to sort of validate, like, it's almost like forward testing your back. It's back testing during the live market. It worked for me anyway. That's kind of like something I do as well. And it's a massive game changer, because you go, okay, well, I would have gotten here. Why didn't I get in here? Oh, it was because of this reason here, but it still worked out. And you kind of go, well, my edge is being reconfirmed every time I do that. So, did you have like a spreadsheet or anything like that, or a collection of data that gave you like, okay, well, I know if I do this, this, and this, my end result should be, you know, at the end of a month, I'm expected to return, you know, 4% or 10% on a 100K account, for example.
Not really. More so back testing in the beginning. I would just screenshot them. I would see where I went right, where I went wrong, and then I would kind of month to month, week to week, where I'm at. All just on the phone data. I never really more so journaled, you know, exactly on spreadsheet. You know, we have tons of ways to journal now, tons of ways to actually have this back testing data. You know, there's websites, there's applications where you can have that entire, the entire analytics statistics literally on that, you know, FX Replay. A lot of my students use that. But also touching on the fact of back testing and gathering your edge, because that's the main thing, you know, edge and psychology. If you don't have those two, you're never going to make it. You need to back test your own, the session that you trade. If you're back testing different sessions where you're not trading, there are certain things that can work during your session that will not work in other sessions, right? So I can be trading during New York session. One thing can be amazing. You're going to have a 70, 60, 80% win rate in New York. But if I go to Asia session, if I go to London, that will completely be destroyed.
Yeah, it is. It is very true. I mean, I've done that as well. Back tested just that session that you're going to trade. Ignore the rest because, yeah, it might work, but it might not work. But you're not going to be there for it anyway, so it doesn't matter. One thing I think about is like, if I ever leave this country, then I'm going to have to change the session and like reinvent everything that I've done. But anyway, when you go back to your back test, so like just finally on this, you know, you took these screenshots, what did you do with them? I mean, did you flick through them on your phone and just sort of remind yourself, or how did you sort of utilize them?
Just kept them in my photo album on my phone, and I just see, okay, which one worked, which one didn't. I always have a 1R. I'd always highlight, okay, how much R did I catch? And I mean, that's really it. Just seeing what really did work. It wasn't more so gathering the statistical data of how much percentage am I going to gain per month, per week. It was more so just seeing, okay, which one will actually work.
Okay. And so at what point did you go, okay, I feel confident enough to actually take this into a live environment? Or was it sort of like a merge of, I'm still doing the back testing, but I want to try it out as well?
I really, besides a couple months of when I first started, I always traded live. And I think that's what kind of helped me a lot, is because a lot of people will trade demo. A lot of people will be like, oh, wow, I'm doing amazing on demo. You know, I'm having 10%, 20%, 30% in a week, in a month. And I'm like, dude, listen, it's not in the long run going to be sustainable, right? And demo emotions compared to live emotions, even on prop firms, right? You're going to have so many more emotions. Whereas in demo, okay, you can take this with all the confidence in the world without hesitating. Whereas if you get into the live market and you try to take a trade and those emotions hit you, you're done. You lost that trade before you even got into it because you hesitated. Your emotions are behind you. If you lose that trade, okay, what are you going to do? You know, are you getting FOMO? Are you going to over leverage after you lost that trade to get it back? Are you going to chase that loss? Are you going to revenge trade? What are you going to do after you take that loss?
Yeah, it's an interesting point in terms of like what others potentially will do to undermine what their, you know, their progress. I mean, you've obviously had a bunch of students come through and learn from you. What kind of things do you see are common pitfalls for somebody even just trying to copy what you do or take the learnings from what you do and apply it to their own stuff?
mainly psychology. The technical part, you know, I can teach that to someone 5-10 minutes, you know, not exactly kind of exaggerating, but the technicals are very easy to teach someone and it's very easy to understand. Whereas there's certain parts within the technical space where you can get confused on, which is, you know, kind of liquidity and also the major swing points. A lot of my students still try to take, you know, supply, demand, order blocks, whatever you want to call them, where you're still resting in between external structure, whereas they're now trading internal structure. So that's the main thing that I see my students actually have trouble on. Also, clear break structures versus liquidity sweeps. Some people will see a liquidity sweep as a break structure. They'll be like, okay, I'm going to take, say you have a previous session low, right? And you come down during New York, you so-called break that, you take out that low, but then you completely reverse and they're trying to take a supply. Whereas that supply is going to get blown through because you just swept that previous low and you're impulsively moving to the upside. This is the main thing that I do touch on. I'm giving it to you right now because why not? But it's more so sweeps versus breaks and trading between external versus internal structure.
And so, I mean, like the sweeps versus breaks, I can see how people could get caught out there. I mean, how on earth do you, or have you got a way to determine what's a sweep and what's a break that sort of helps people go, well, I can now understand it better and then I'm not going to be falling for that trap again?
Can I explain this without giving everything?
I mean, you don't have to tell me, yeah, but I mean, like, if you don't have to explain exactly what it is that you know, the trick, but I mean, is it easy enough once people know, then they can go, okay, great, I got it. Or is it still like a mindset thing?
It's like, oh, wow, like, that's where it was going wrong. It's more so a lot of people get caught up on candle closures. They will have, you know, so-called break, it'll only be a wick. Or you have that break and it completely reverses immediately. If something breaks the previous low and you're reversing back to the upside, I'm not taking that supply. I'm waiting for that supply to get broke. As long as it's breaking, you know, the main structure, external structure, I'm going to try to get back in on that demand so that I continue that newly formed trend. That chasing market structure shifts, change characters, and especially on the 1 minute, people learned about me more so because I traded on the 1 and the 5. I kind of switched that because I was losing way more on the 1 minute. And if me with a lot of experience on the 1 minute, I'm losing more and more than I should be, it's too much noise. It's too much noise for someone that's trying to understand, you know, the topic and the subject of supply and demand and order blocks, liquidity and all that, strategy as a whole. We need to focus on the bigger picture, because if you don't understand the bigger picture, the overall bias, you're never going to successfully trade. As simple as that.
It's interesting. It's kind of like, I've just had a thought in my mind that it's almost like people that, you know, the guys that are less patient than others are more likely to get a loss than a win. So, i.e., if you see, okay, great, it's broken the structure, it's come back in, retested the zone, and you've got these guys who are like, yep, I'm in, here we go. And then you've got the other guys who have been around for long enough to know that, okay, yeah, it could retest the zone, it could go, and I'm happy to lose or miss out on that trade, versus there also could be a liquidity sweep, which is going to then push and break through that zone and then give me my entry on the other side where I know that, okay, well, my stop's going to be in a better place and I've got a more reliable chance of winning their trade.
Right.
So the patience is kind of a key thing that I think maybe the better traders pry on for the weaker traders. And it's like, well, I know these guys are going to get screwed over here, so I'll happily lose that wins, you know, 20% of the time. I'll miss out on that trade, but I'll get the one that wins 80% of the time on the other side. I don't know. That was just my thought on that. Let's dive into some of the stats around what you're doing now. Like, so you've talked about 3 markets that you trade. I mean, what about, like, if you broke down your entire trading strategy into sort of metrics and that, how does it look?
So supply and demand, now I use liquidity, gaps, which is imbalance, fair value gap, whatever. And I mean, Fibonacci. I use a couple of confluences. As long as 3 to 5 of my confluences line up and it's going with the overall bias, I'm going to take the trade. You know, my win rate kind of averages between 50 to 70% win rate, depending on the week, the month. Quarter four, the beginning of the year, actually was not that good at all for a lot of traders. It was just the market conditions. So it really depends on the conditions of the market and how, like you said, patient I am. You know, I am a very impatient person. So it was kind of hard for me to sit on my hands, you know, for as long as I had to. But if you understand, okay, if I don't see a setup, I don't see something that fits everything, every single confluence that I need to see, I'm not going to take it. You're going to surpass people that are trying to take every single trade that they see. And I see a lot of my students doing that. You know, they'll have something marked and then they'll take something in the middle. And I'm like, what are you doing? But yeah, so I trade US 30, NAS, and I trade gold. A lot of my students, they're like, oh, you're trading gold again. I traded gold a year and a half ago. And I don't know why I put it down. I'm not going to lie, because I love it. I really love it, especially on the lower time frame. It's very nice. I love it. So when, you know, NAS and US 30 aren't acting right for me during that day, I'll look at gold, and gold usually presents something.
And what's the risk to reward that you get on these trades, and does it differ to, you know, compared to the market?
Yeah. So lately I've seen gold kind of get more RR, whereas NAS and US 30, it kind of depends. Stop loss has been a bit bigger recently, but I average a minimum of 2R. I will not take anything below that, and anything above that is fine with me. You know, if it's 3, 4, 5R, I'm taking it. But if it's below a 2, it's not worth it in my eyes with my win rate.
And how do you do the exiting of trades that go over 2R? I mean, what's the sort of differentiating factor there? Trailing or targets or what have you?
So with break even, usually I will set my stop after it breaks a recent high, you know, on the 1 minute. Or if I'm holding the full TP, like position just lines up for a 2R. If we're, say we're taking a demand, we're taking longs, I will just get out at the recent high, the high of that move. So whatever the demand, whatever the high is of that demand, I'll just take out and that's it. Or sometimes opposite direction imbalances. It depends if, you know, we're kind of trading in between external and internal. If we're trading during internal, I will get out opposite direction imbalance because it can easily react off that supply. Believe it or reverse, I'd rather take my profits rather than, you know, get greedy and either take a break even or a loss.
And are you actually setting a TP or at these levels that you think, okay, well, this is where it's going to reverse? Okay, so you're not setting a TP.
Manual.
So are you manually exiting? Okay, right. That's interesting.
Yep.
Now, what about like the break even? So I'm kind of thinking, you mentioned, okay, if it hits a high on a 1 minute, you move your stop to break even. Now, I've done that plenty of times, and I find that either, well, I suppose you're going for 2 hour minimum, so at least it's 2 hour away, right? Depending on the market, wow, yeah, sorry, I'm just now thinking, NAS, US 30, and gold, probably all right.
A lot
Euro
of volume.
US dollar, Euro US dollar, it will hit that break even. Every single time,
yeah,
like literally 9 out of 10, it's coming back. And you've got to put that break even into profit, right? Because you got the spread and you got the commission. So you're talking 1.5 pips in profit. It's going to get
minimum.
Hit.
Yep.
Yeah. Guaranteed. Okay. So I asked my own question there. What about your typical trading day? How does that look? And how many trades would you take?
Per day, I'm taking one trade. In the past, I would take two. You know, if I win that first trade, I'm done. If I lost that first trade, I'll look for one more. But recently, I've been sticking to one. It just keeps me way more disciplined. I'll take the trade. Win or loss, I get off. My trading day, I wake up. You know, New York is 9:30 for me. I'm on the East Coast, New Jersey, obviously. And so I wake up around 8:30, an hour before. I'll make my coffee, you know, my espresso, my double espresso. Check my socials. I'll text my girlfriend, good morning. I'll then go into my Discord and text them. Girlfriend always comes first. She's next to me. But, you know, after I get that espresso in me, I'm hopping on the charts. And I'm not taking a single trade until 9:30. So if something presents before 9:30, I'm not going to take it at all.
Yeah.
I will most likely get off the charts around 11:30, 12. I'll go to the gym. I kind of have a set schedule of coming to the gym around 12. Like I said, that also keeps me very disciplined. You know, I'm not going to try to sit on my charts and chase something. Whereas in the past, I'd be like, all right, I'm going to trade from open to close. I'm going to try to catch something. Whereas if I don't see something during the prime hours of New York, I'm going to the gym. I'm getting a lift, getting big, and that's it.
It's interesting. I like the one trade a day philosophy because it kind of gives you that limitation to, you know, it limits the fact that you get it, or limits risk, so you can't go down a spiral of, you know, going on tilt and just undermining yourself, revenge trading, etc. I mean, how did you land on the one? Because, I mean, I did that yesterday, actually. I took one trade, it was a win, and then I was like, okay, and it was the start of the session. I was only like 20 minutes in. I was in and out, and I'm like, you know what? The good thing is I don't need to trade for the rest of the day. I've got the rest of that day off. Whereas like last week, I'd had days where I was like, you know, still checking my phone for updates on the trade at like 10:30 at night. I was like, the damn thing's gone on forever. I mean, but it was like, it was a good winning trade and it had, but it's just taken forever to go there. So I was like, okay, well, I'm done. How did you get onto one? Why was one the magic number for you?
You really only have one focused, serious decision you can take. There was some statistic, I forget who quoted it or whatever. I think it was like one major, I want to look it up, kind of like take too long, but after
I think it's there's kind of like a book or a philosophy around your brain only has so many decisions it can make during the day, right? So if there you limit that down, every time you sort of make another decision, your brain just gets, it's like you got a battery in there that just gets worn down. Yeah. I don't know what the book is or whoever came up with it, but it's,
you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. I know the likes of, Nick Shawn, I've had on the show before. He limits his decision making to like all the clothes. He only wears like one set of clothes. I don't know. Maybe he's changed now. I haven't seen for ages, but he only wears like one kind of outfit. Yeah, he's got different clothes, but the same outfit. So he doesn't need to make a decision on that. Gets up in the morning, pretty much going to put like maybe one or two outfits on.
So routine.
But it's just that. Yep. Routine. Bang. Decision not made.
Robot.
And then you get to the charts and then you make that one decision and you're done. You don't want to obviously have to every decision you make, it becomes harder and harder, I suppose, unless you're more experienced, and then you maybe realize, okay, I can get away with three trades, four trades. I can sit through a whole session. I don't know. But I'm guessing you got to be real, real good to be able to go through a whole session and just execute flawlessly every single time. Or your mindset needs to be at a certain level. But anyway, okay, that's interesting. So this, the decision limitation thing is kind of where you got to around that. Now, what about like, what do you think made you different from somebody else out there who's trying to make this work? Why did you manage to come up with something that works for you and become the trader that I suppose you dreamed of?
Really having no plan B. You know, people, they'll get into trading, they'll be going to college, they'll have a full-time job. People obviously will have a lot of responsibility. I was young at the time. I'm still very young. I think that is what set me apart. And more so being an introvert and not wanting to go out and instead wanting to go in the charts and actually having a passion for trading. You know, a lot of people that I even still teach, they don't have passion and they don't have the excitement going into the charts. And I think that's what can make or break a trader. You know, you kind of are seeing this as a job. You're kind of seeing this as, I got a trade today. I got a back test. It's like, you should love that. You should love waking up like, let's go. Like, I'm ready to crush the market. I'm ready to study. I'm ready to see where I can improve or where I went wrong and fix, you know, where I can, even my strengths, how I can sharpen that iron. You need to find the passion even within the sacrifice. You know, you only have one journey, and the journey is what is the most crucial part of a trader's career, I want to say life, career, you only have one journey. So you need to really love and get to love that sacrifice, that failure, that constant failure, that constant stress, that constant, why am I not doing this? Why am I not where I want to be? You know, that all stems into people focusing on other traders that are already successful, already went through the work, already went through the trials and tribulations, already went through the failure. What did they do? They stuck with it. They stuck with it and they stay consistent. And that's why myself and successful traders that are in the space, it's why they are where they are. You know, we found passion within the journey and within the sacrifice and the failure.
I think that's failure is a big, massive part of it, isn't it? It's like, if you can accept that failure, you're on the right path. But being able to accept it, and even accept the fact that, like, you know, you've had a job, right? So you've worked, somebody else who's been in a job for maybe 20 years, 10, 15 years, they do the work, they get paid for it, they've got a reward, right? At the end of the day, it's like, oh, I'm going in there, I'm doing the work, I'm getting paid for it, that's my reward. Problem with trading is there is no reward for the first however many years. You don't know, there could be no reward
Five, six, seven years.
Yeah, if you give up, there's never going to be a reward, right? But it could be, yeah, like decade before you actually start breaking the back of it. So it's kind of like that. How would you sort of suggest somebody get over that hurdle of being able to go, well, there's no reward, I'm going to fail for a long time before it actually clicks? I mean, how would you try and help somebody out if you just, you know, met them and they were chatting to you and you're like, I'm going to try and get you over this hurdle? What would you say? And I'm putting you on the spot here.
A lot of people, they think it's a scam. You know, they think it's a scam because it's not going to work for them. It's more so just the space I was around trading, were more so Forex past couple of years. Started with like IML, whatnot in the past. Glad I was never in it. But honestly, the way to get past it is just to stick to one single thing. And you need to understand that losses are all part of the game. You know, you're going to take losses, you're going to fail. And those losses is what's going to build your character. You know, without losses, how are you going to learn? So that's the main thing. If you're not going to take a loss, you're not going to fail. You're never going to learn and you're never going to get better. So that's why I see losses as more so better than wins in a sense, because I'm learning. I'm learning where I can sharpen the iron, where I can go better. You need to just zone in. You need to focus. You can't be distracted by all these things. You can't be distracted by, you know, chasing women or whatnot, going out, spending all this money, going on vacations, going out with your friends. You need to really lock in. And that's where a lot of people fail. You know, they'll kind of put trading to the side where you need to put it first. You need to put it first before relationships, before everything. That's not even being funny. It's being genuine. You need to seriously have no plan B. This needs to be your number one.
Mm. It's funny you say that around like being willing to lose. And I had an interview, don't know if it'll go out before or after yours, but I can't remember. But it was, actually, let me just double check. It'll go out the week after, it'll be next week's actually. And so, yeah, this guy says, and I won't say who it is, but this guy says, like, he enters every trade and sort of says to himself, like, I expect to lose this trade. Every single trade, oh, I expect to lose this trade.
Yep.
Which I started doing, and it actually works really well, because you go in with the expectation, oh, I'm going to lose it.
Yep.
I expect to lose this trade, which is kind of counterintuitive to what I've been thinking in the past, which is like, well, I want to win this trade, whereas you ain't got any control over it. So you may as well expect the worst.
And I think that's where, you know, people go wrong with taking signals or even giving out signals. I think it's just people expect you to win every single trade, you know. Mm-hmm. If someone goes into a signal group, they're like, all right, let's go. We send signals, let's win. And they lose. And they're like, okay, why? Like, give me my money back. You know, even in my group, I'm like, okay, I send my chart. This is a potential. It could easily lose, could easily, you know, go right through the stop loss. It is what it is. You need to understand that you need to lose. There's no way around it. This is really the only career where you're going to get beat down time after time after time again, and there's no way around it at all.
Yeah. And it doesn't make sense because you sort of think, well, it's just a chart. I'm just like entering a buy and putting a stop loss and a take profit in. I mean, how hard can it be? It doesn't make sense, but it is what it is. Now, what about like, obviously, you know, you started off with, I think you're putting $5 in an account, blowing it, and then, you know, trying to flip it. How did you get your capital to a point where you were able to, you know, walk away from a trading month with something that was sustainable to live off?
Prop firms, you know, a lot of people, they will try to start flipping an account, like what I did. And it's just a really bad mindset. You know, we're in, I wouldn't even say anymore, because prop firms kind of iffy topic right now. Everything that's going on. But, you know, you could do futures. You could do futures. You could do regular prop firms. There's so many ways where you can build capital, you know, whereas people that are getting to the market, they're putting in $10, $50, $100, $200, $500, even $1,000. You're going to try to get the most of what you can out of that money, you know, whereas if you say you get, I don't know, a $50,000, $100,000, we'll say $100,000 account, you risk 1%. Okay. You're risking $1,000. Mind you, you know, you technically only have $10,000 in that account or $8,000, depending on the max drawdown, but you still have way more capital than you have putting in $100, $200. And that mindset completely changes, where obviously it can kind of take a toll on someone if they've never seen a number that big. You know, going from a $200 account to a $100,000 account, it's going to be like, whoa, that's why you build up. You build up. You start small. You start with a 5K, 10K account. You know, you pass that. You get your payout. Go to the next size, 25K. You get your payout. Compound. Compound the accounts until you're at where, you know, all you have to make is 2, 3, 4, 5% a month, and you're good. You're chilling. You're making more than you are at your job, or you're paying your bills and you have the freedom. And I think that's where a lot of people go wrong. They chase the money, just chase the setups, chase the A-plus setups. The money's going to come to you. Stop trying to chase all these percentage gains and focus on what is sustainable long-term.
Now, what exactly did you do? Did you follow that advice that you now give, or did you do something different?
I mean, I started a little bit higher. Like, I started with 50K accounts and then I worked my way up. So, I mean, that's basically, I have 500K now that I trade with, and I mean, $500,000. All I really need is a couple percent a month. My lifestyle has kind of changed, so I kind of spend a bit more money, so I need that. But yeah, I mean, I started as a 50K account. I went to 100K, 200K, and then I just upgraded.
And when you were doing your challenges and all those things at the start, I mean, how hard was it for you to get past a challenge? And you know, I suppose back in the day, it may have even been 30, it probably was 30-day time limits and stuff.
Really, my first firm was my Forex fund. Rest in peace. I traded with 0.5%. 0.5%, if I win, whatever, cool. You know, I gained 2%, 2.5%, 3%, 1%, whatever. I went for higher RRs. So whereas risking 0.5% with 30 days, it will be fine. Lower the risk. You know, you don't need to hit home run trades, especially now with having higher time frames. You can pass a challenge. You can pass a challenge within a year, 2 years. There's unlimited time, right? Whereas, like you said, back in the day, we had 30 days. You know, we were like, oh my gosh, if I don't pass this, if I'm in negative, I'm going to fail. You know, I need to be in profit at least to get a refund or retry, or I need to pass this account in 30 days. So, you know, if you're trying to pass a challenge with a prop firm, stop trying to hit home run every single trade. Stop trying to over risk. Keep your risk low and slowly build. Because, I mean, if you risk 2% and you lose, okay, well, now you're down 2%. How does your mind react with you being in drawdown, let alone 2% within one trade?
And I suppose it's at the end of the day, when you get funded, you're going to have to trade anyway on the funded account and make that sustainable. So why would you like screw yourself over in the challenge? If you can't pass the challenge, you know, and you're not going to make money out of the funded account anyway, so it doesn't matter. You kind of need to be able to pass it in a way that's going to be sustainable going forward. Okay, so that's how you did it. You did it with the prop firms. Have you got any intention of, like, I suppose, eking yourself out of prop firms and trading personal capital again?
Yeah. As of right now, I'm debating between regular brokers and futures. I'm ready to get out. I have enough capital as of right now. There's a lot of things I'm not going to speak on. But let's just say that the top firms tend to go down. I'm not going to speak a lot on it, but there's a lot of firms right now that aren't paying out, that are doing sketchy things. And I don't think in the long term it's going to be completely sustainable. Now, if they're outside of the US, they might be, you know, FTMO, shout out Blue Guardian. Never traded with you guys yet, but a lot of firms that are based in the US, no go. So, I mean, not only that, with firms being sketchy right now, but also, you know, the spreads within futures and really just being able to withdraw and compound my account with, you know, my own money. I think that's a main thing, especially for me at this stage. I think it's really only right. But if you are a beginner or, you know, you're trying to get funded, you know, get capital, you don't have too much capital, get a funded account, pass the challenge, potentially pass challenge, get your payout. Trade it smartly, effectively. Don't over leverage. Don't be like, you know what? I'm going to get a 20% payout. Bro, no. Especially your first payout, just go for like 3%. Get the refund, get your payout, and it's risk-free from there.
Superb. Now, what about like a mindset, from a mindset point of view? I mean, do you recommend, the guys that come through and get mentoring from you and that, do you ever give them sort of like specific advice around mindset? Is there like a hack that you found works really well?
The main thing I speak on is psychology and mindset. The main thing is you just need to leave the emotions out of the market. You know, if you're having a bad day or something happens before you get onto the charts, don't even get onto the charts, because the emotions outside trading is going to carry on to the chart. So, you know, say, who knows, something happened in your personal life, you're like, upset, I'm disappointed. You get onto the charts and you risk 3-4% because you're like, let me take down the charts. And now your mood just went down another 50%. So leave the emotions out and stick to one thing. Stick to one thing and have a plan. If you don't have a plan, you're not going to get to where you want to be. I never met someone that didn't have a plan to become successful and got successful. You need to have a plan. That's within anything, within entrepreneurship, not only trading.
And so if somebody was going to put a plan together, I mean, what would that plan look like in your eyes?
Confluences, what session you're going to trade, what pairs you're going to trade, what actually works, you know, what session works, what pair. Certain entry models, so that kind of ties in with confluences, and also a time frame during your session. You know, you don't want to be sitting on your session from open to close. You want to have a certain time frame within that session that has the most volume where you can get that trade. If you don't see any of those things and your mind is not within line, just don't even go to the charts. Don't even take a trade. Simple as that.
Cool. So it's very much a trading plan in terms of, like, you know, executing the trade versus I'm going to make $2,000 this month, or I'm going to make 10% each month.
Yeah.
That kind of thing, which is like a more of a business plan, but
even that,
don't focus on,
it's not consistent. So you can't be like, all right, I'm going to make 10, 20K, 5K this month. You know, the market's going to do what it wants to do. It's never going to be 100%. It's never going to be 100% on your side. You know, the market's here to beat us. So you need to figure out, okay, what is sustainable? What can I actually do long term instead of saying, oh, I want to make 10K this month? You know, have a certain percentage where it's sustainable. You know, sustainability within the market is key. And that's really it. You can't go into the market saying, oh, I want to make this much debt. Just go with what RR is minimum for your strategy. If it doesn't present and none other things line up or present with that, don't take the trade.
Okay, cool. Well, what we're going to do is wrap up on this last question here. So was there a day where you had like a, you know, I suppose a highlight of your trading career where you thought, you know, could have just been like the perfect trade or something like that. Was there a day that you sort of look back and go, well, I can't believe I've achieved that? And can you explain it to us?
Yeah, it was right before I got my car. I had my first five-figure day, 10K. I really didn't feel anything emotionally because I knew it was going to come. I knew, you know, I built up to that where it wasn't just overnight, right? So I think that's where success comes into play too. You kind of don't feel emotion when you get to where you want to be or where you wanted to be because you worked so long towards it where it kind of just happened. You know, you were successful really, but you didn't hit that certain milestone where you're like, okay, I actually made it. It slowly creeps up to that point to where you're at that point. You're like, all right, cool. Like, what's next? You know, it kind of sucks because there's not much excitement in it. I mean, you know, if I had a 50K, 100K day, obviously it'd be like, oh my gosh, let me fly somewhere. But it's just, you always want more. And that's the issue with what I'm having psychologically right now. But I mean, that and getting my car is all I ever dreamed of. And I couldn't have asked for more. It was a great week. But emotionally, just, it is what it is. Like, it was coming. I knew it was coming. It happened.
Yeah. So you're basically numb to it at that point. Hey, look, Jello, it's been fantastic having you on the show. I mean, what's the best way for traders to get hold of you?
Contact me on Instagram. SMC Jello or Angelo Laval, whatever account. I usually mainly use SMC Jello. That's it.
Brilliant. Well, look, a big thank you to Angelo for sharing with us today. Everything will be in his show notes. There's a link under the video here or in the podcast description. Or you can find him by searching for Angelo or Jello on tradingnut.com. Until next time, wish all my listeners trading happiness and success.